All right, we can then now turn to chapter 8, 9, 10. I want to do all these chapters together because they are all interconnected. Chapter number 8, we already started because we have explain to ourselves the meaning of those difficult words, namely Brahman, Swabhava, Karma, Adhibhuta, Adhideva, and Adhiyajya. The rest of the chapter is less difficult. It simply says, basically, that if you know the reality as it is, if you know the totality of the world and the origin of the world, if you know Adhiyajya, Adhiyajya is the Lord of Sacrifice, the subject who receives all the objective offerings, that is Adhiyajya. If you know that this is the secret of the world, then the only thing that remains for you to do is, as I told you, Namaskuru. The only thing that remains for you to do is to Namaskar. This is the basic message of the rest of the chapter number 8. Once you know what is reality, once you know what is the world, once you know the reality has got two natures, lower and higher, and that you are here by method of karma to rise yourself to do your swabhava and attain to the highest condition in which you can reach, then the only thing that you need to do is bhakti. That is how, whereas the Bhagavad Gita was speaking in the beginning of Karma Yoga and of Jnana Yoga, and in the first six chapters there was a synthesis of Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. Now when the whole knowledge is expounded, then the resulting is bhakti. This is how bhakti and jnana yoga are now synthesized. So, if you now read the eighth chapter, you will see constantly one word, smara. This is a constant message. Smara is a very important word in the process of bhakti. Bhakti is a very simple process of yoga, as distinguished from Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. In Karma Yoga and in Jnana Yoga, there are many stages and many processes. In Bhakti Yoga, there are only four simple movements. Straining of your emotions towards the Divine. That is the first step of Bhakti Yoga. Straining yourself, that is when we are trying to lift your head from the ground to the upper fronting of the Divine. That is a straining. Then there is a pain of love. The next step is the return of love. And the fourth is unceasing delight, unceasing. Delight of the possession of the beloved, which never ceases. It is infinite pranam to the Divine. You possess the Divine and there is no end of it. These are the simple processes of Bhakti Yoga. But Sri Krishna tells you first that this Bhakti Yoga becomes much easier once you know. That is why he says, Jnani is my parama bhakta. The real bhakti arises when you really know what is the secret of the world then bhakti becomes automatic. And then Sri Krishna says that if you remember the divine at the time of your death, then you will surely come to me. Now, very often this is misunderstood, and people think that at the time of death you take the name of God, as if that will give you a passport to God. But that is not true. Sri Krishna says, in order that you may remember me at the end of your life, you should constantly remember in your life. You remember me, and even Yudhyasva, remember me even while you are doing fights. I mean, the battlefield, that is the one time when you can forget God, because you are engaged in fighting and so much of activity, pressure of work in fight. Even at that time, if you can remember, then what is said is true, that at that time you will automatically come to the stage where there will be a remembrance of the divine. And then what is stated is that normally there are good times when you can leave the body. There are not so very good times when you can leave the body. Now, this is a kind of an exposition of a mystic tradition. There is a mystic knowledge in India which says that if you are walking properly on your path, then certain things will happen at a given time. This is also connected with the knowledge of astrology. Astronomy and astrology in India are very closely connected. Astrology is a study of time. Astronomy is a study of the movement of planets. And it is also a study of time, because movement of planets takes place within time limits. So having seen that there is in astronomy a study of time, and in astrology also there is a kind of a movement of time, the two are correlated. And it is then said that time itself is not something mechanical. Time itself is a vibration of the divine. Is, you might say, breathing of the divine. The whole time movement is the breath of the divine. It's a pulsation of the divine. In that pulsation, whatever happens at a given time is significant. And if you are a good student of this movement, you can read from the mere breathing and the mode of breathing and the time of the breathing as to what is intended. This is the fundamental philosophy behind some of the statements that you find in this chapter, namely, that there are moments which are called moment of Uttarayana. There is a whole period of 6 months which is called Uttarayana. And there is a period which is called Dakshinayana. In astronomy, we know what is solstice. Solstice is the time when either the day is longest or the night is longest. On December 21, the night is longest and the day is shortest. On June 23, the day is longest and the night is shortest.